You just post it right
there in
the corner. Yeah.
We'll just hang it on the camera
yeah.
and play on the space.
We are live.
We're live?
Yes. I'm welcome here to the Offices of China Hall podcast on a Friday night. Let's see, what camera are we working with tonight? We're working, the one that gets all of us is that one all the way down at the end.
This
one down there. No, not that one. The one that's down, you're kind of cut off on that one.
Okay.
So. Welcome to the Offices of China Hall podcast. We made it another Friday night. We got through the snow. We got through the cold. And we are here with another special guest. And
who are you?
And we
don't intro anybody.
Who are you?
Excellent. Jeff Brusak, Plan the Space is my business. Glad to be sitting down here. The guys at Offices of China Hall.
So Jeff with Plan the Space, I don't know if you knew this, Josh, but he designed the offices at China Hall.
I did.
Yeah.
He did let me know that, and that's awesome. I was going to have him talk a little bit about that.
We wouldn't be sitting here unless it were for him. We're like this.
Well, we could, but it wouldn't look this good.
That's true.
It would look really bad.
Jeff, where are you originally from? Did you move here to Rochester recently?
Came through Chicago, but from Michigan originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And growing up in Michigan, did you root for the Wolverines?
We were a Wolverine family, yes.
Really? I didn't know that. That's interesting.
I'm told that it's a little bit like a cult coming back in with the family there. Yeah.
And take us through the journey. So from Michigan, somehow you ended up in Chicago, but there were some other stops in between, right?
A few steps along the way, mainly out in San Francisco. I was working there right out of undergrad. Also worked in New Orleans. And moved from Chicago a little less than 2 years ago.
What'd you go to school for?
Studied architecture during the undergrad and then did an MBA.
So Plan the Space, what is Plan the Space?
Plan the Space is something that grew out of initially a tech idea, working with a tool for managing building information. And as I was getting to know landlords in Chicago, saw a need for the architecture services. A lot of the same work that I was doing in construction, but delivered from an architect for guys to go ahead and build out office space. Starting with office, getting a little more into retail, and in the move have kind of expanded from there. But that's really the base of it. And was working in a co-working space, was just telling Josh. It was a pretty big one there in Chicago.
You said it was the first, right? The first
one? 1871, as far as I know.
It was 1871? I heard that brand. And I think I even heard the founder speak one time, 3 years ago, talking about 1871. It was tied to the history of Chicago and the fire, maybe?
That's the story of it.
Yeah.
That's where the 1871 comes from. And Kevin Willard is the one who I think of as the founder. I think there's a few people who claim that.
Yeah.
He was a former Google person, I think employee 17, Kevin at Google.
Oh, wow.
Who, through different connections, and there's a number of people who were involved. There was a lot of state, and city effort coming into 1871. So they launched it.
So there was a lot of people there too, right? Like a lot.
It was a lot. In a given day, you'd expect to be about 350. They,
That's
boasted
crazy.
About 350 companies, about 1,200 members when I was there. Only
that
grown.
Would be so much fun.
They expanded onto two more floors. I mean, it just kept going. So
yeah.
It keeps going.
We just got our first renter. Ryan Manley.
Road to 350.
Sierra Pacific. Sierra Pacific Mortgage. Ryan has joined on board.
Yeah.
He loves his office that you've designed for him. So
that's good. Yeah.
Did you get your chops in Chicago when it comes to architecture? Or would you say that you got some of that even prior to it in San Francisco? Where did you start really getting the experience?
It was really for me in San Francisco. I had an internship and my work experience, in architecture was actually in Alaska where I'd worked, so to drop another town for you. But I had worked for builders up there and for a couple of architects, but it was in San Francisco that I worked for a company, Novo Construction, tenant improvements contractor, doing a lot of work for tech companies, building out corporate headquarters. That business grew along the same kind of line, servicing brokers, servicing other professionals within the industry. And then the kind of tech companies and growth that was happening out there and continues, seeing that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So when did you start Plan the Space?
2015.
Yeah. In Chicago.
In Chicago, exactly. Yeah, I was doing some consulting. I was, working on a couple tech ideas just with friends. And, my idea initially was around managing building information, being able to tie that into an app, being able to then go ahead and track that and share it amongst engineers. So from the world of construction, you know, a lot of the people you work with, you know, getting good information, and you see this in a number of businesses, really important. And people who manage the buildings have that information. So trying to get that so you can be competitive as a contractor, and certainly also plays into architecture work, being able to do design that's conscious of what's there.
And are we missing any part of the journey? Like, was it straight up architecture from high school on to college, and then it was just all architecture? Or did you do any stints in between?
I mean, I'll say over the years, I've had a lot of jobs. I was just talking about photography with Josh here. I worked as a photographer for 4 years through high school. I mean, that's pretty distant now, but that was a good job.
Were they digital cameras?
No, old Hasselblad with a big battery pack on your shoulder. Right, you know, you're sore for a few days after, slinging those things around. And it was, I was mainly, side light when I started off, and then shooting, towards the end of the time in high school. But other jobs over the years. I mean, when I was working for the construction company out in San Francisco, regular 5 day a week, job. But was looking for a little something different. So I was driving a tour bus for city sightseeing. Was taking people from Fisherman's Wharf out to Sausalito. It's a pretty good time.
Right on.
I like to think my big innovation there was once I learned that they had a liquor license for sale of alcohol, like that I could sell booze, I was all over that. And I would bring, alcohol, set up a cooler. And even better, though, were the days where we were in traffic and every other bus driver was like sweating it that they weren't getting tipped. I was just letting,
selling booze in the.
I was just giving it away. I was just letting someone walk the aisle with a jug and fill up cups. Those were my best days out there. Yeah,
that's awesome. It had to be interesting too, just the people coming into San Fran and the questions they would ask, why they were there. I'm sure you met a lot of interesting people through that.
It was great. I mean, you're not really building relationships. Yeah. It's a little bit more doing shtick, being a bus driver. I'll say, too, that, they train you up just having you shadow. So you ride a couple times, you get to know, the way there's a certain narrative and things you deliver. But every bus driver had this really self-deprecating shtick. And I don't know, it was like kind of corny and like fart jokes. And I just couldn't get into it. So anyway, I had to develop my own way of engaging with the passengers, and I loved it. That was fun. It was a little bit more of like a mass audience, but everybody was there for like the same kind of time and trip. So it was
cool. Is that when you picked up surfing too?
Never got into it. I wish. Had I lived on Ocean Beach and the friends who were out there, I mean, it's like the healthiest thing you can do is get up every morning and go surf. Yeah.
Isn't it extremely difficult too? I mean, it's,
I thought it was, heck, I don't, you no, I, no, I haven't,
oh,
done,
okay,
it. To my knowledge, I think it's hard. Yeah, I'm a big surfer
down in Silver Lake. I swear I saw you, man.
I mean, to get up on the board, I think it's really tough, and then to like continue to like practice and refine, like, yeah.
And then so from San Francisco, you had mentioned Alaska at some point in that journey. So was Alaska before, after, during?
Yeah, you're having to kind of work to like pull it out of me here. But so Alaska was where I interned and then went back for a job before graduation. And I worked at a kayak or fishing resort. I was a kayak guide there. Great job as well, if anyone's looking for a fun summer job. So as a resort, a couple of homesteaders who'd set up in the 50s. And there, the next generation was basically running this, fishing, and the kayaks was another add-on that they had, and tent camping sites. And so that was my lead into Alaska. I wanted to be back up there for another summer. Went back up, worked for an architecture firm, was my, main job through the summer to get that internship experience, but was working on the side for an architect builder who was building, high-end homes up in the hills around town. My first job was actually with a glazer who I met. So that's a glass subcontractor who was doing curtain raw and storefront systems. And I met him actually hitchhiking. And he picked me up, gave me a ride. We started talking about the business. And he was like, yeah, I could work with you. So he brought me in. I was doing his details there in the shop while I was looking for work. And that was a nice lead into Anchorage.
Neat.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Alaska, but I haven't yet.
It's waiting for you. It's up there. I'd say go during the summer if you're going to time it. I mean, it's nice when it's 24 hours, basically, of daylight.
Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah.
And then from there, how did you end up in Chicago? Was it a job opportunity, or what took you to the Midwest?
So family being in Michigan, I was looking to be a little bit closer, just, you know, next steps in life and everything. So business school that I moved to Chicago. So I went to Kellogg. I graduated in 2014, worked consulting coming out someone who I connected with right at the end of my time there. He was an instructor in the engineering school who was the founder of the Chicago IDEO office. So he launched that office in 91, coming out from David Kelly Designs, the original IDEO. This is a design.
What's IDEO?
They're a design consulting firm from San Francisco. They worked on like the original Apple products. They've got this great, you know, storied history. So he moved out, you know, when he was kind of early in his career, launched the office in Chicago, built that team, design consulting. He was always focused on healthcare, and my work with him was in that same kind of space. So working with mainly manufacturing companies that were looking to diversify their product line, take some of their existing technology, move it into healthcare.
Neat. Very neat.
Very cool. So what brought you from Chicago to Rochester?
It was the architecture, man. It was just, he was looking at the buildings in Chicago.
You know, I heard
about
DMC. Something good's happening here. The other kind of thing is that every place I've lived is considered like the sportsman's paradise, right? Mm. Alaska, obviously, I lived in New Orleans. They're actually, that's what they call it, you know. And here, finally got, you know, ready to get, got residency, hunting license, ready to get out there. And Bucky's been helping me get a little prepared for that. So, yeah.
You had to go to all those places and then finally come to Rochester and get into hunting. Yes. Yeah. There's giant squirrels in Rochester, I'm telling you. And crows. There's a lot of crows.
He's just sitting out with a BB gun, just like waiting for stuff.
Waited a long time for this.
But the pull for me is my wife. She started at the hospital. So she's working with Mayo and trailing partner here coming to town. Mm.
Trailing spouse syndrome. That happens. It happens more often than you recognize, you know.
Yep.
It's definitely cool.
And a shout out to our sponsors, the Snappy Stuff.
The Snappy Land. Heck yeah. Locally owned since 1985.
I didn't get one.
On South Broadway. Double drive through with burgers, fries, hot dogs, and pop. And chicken nuggets.
And chicken nuggets now.
There you go. Yeah. And ice cream sandwiches. Yes, that's a good plug. We have to find some more plugs to interrupt.
We're just going to put random people's stuff on the table if you want to.
Next one, you can grab that one down there. This is a good marketing idea. I like it a lot, Jeff. This is your business card?
So I never had business cards.
Wait, that's your card?
I started. Yeah, that's what that
is. It's brilliant.
Promotional item.
Interesting.
Card. Yeah, thanks. I don't know, something about it, I was just opposed to having the paper and asking people to then take your paper and hold on to your paper. So I tend to just take photos of them. I've been approaching builders and realtors, and this is my effort to expand the residential side of my business. And really the big pitch, you know, for growing the architecture business is working with these business partners, you know, not chasing people who, you know, need a service or, you know, here and there, but that kind of way to be a part of town and community. So this was timed with the home show, which was last weekend, and you know, there were a number of builders to speak with there. I don't know how much, you know, really comes out of just, you know, the kind of one-off conversation, but it was my second year going. I look at it as a great place to meet and see a lot of people all in one spot. So we'll send a shout out to I think I have his last name, Todd Wicker, over at the Flooring Collective.
Oh yeah.
Nice introduction he made when a couple was coming by. So
cool.
Very nice. Another area.
They've done a good job of marketing too. We've got to get those guys on.
I was just over there shooting a video.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. They've done a really good job marketing.
Yep.
So when you say plan the space, or when I say plan the space, what type of services do you see as opportunity in building here in the Rochester market? Is there a specific area you're trying to target? Obviously doing the Office of China Hall commercial is one of it, but what, you know, what do you see for opportunity locally?
Yeah, so my core that I deliver is kind of office and retail. That's what I've been doing the longest. That's what goes back to my construction background. And I'd say that the construction really plays into, you know, a number of different areas, but that's the niche that I had started in Chicago and expanding with. It's also the only element that I would say I look to the cities to see if there's an opportunity, you know, to be able to go up there, service brokers, leasing teams. So potentially something there. But then something that I think I'm doing a little different and have now worked with Bucky on, so it's a nice kind of lead into that, is working with people who maybe own a site or are looking to develop a space, a property, and pairing both the architectural service and the financial projections, the business side of it.
Mm.
So being able to take that and say, what does it look like to get a building on there? And I'll say also starting to look at it for larger lots, you know, where there's acres of property. What does it look like to go ahead and start breaking that up? And yes, we could, you know, go through an efficiency exercise just to chop it for single family. I realize I'm touching a couple of different products, but taking that just, you know, farm swath somewhere on the edge of town, you could just chop it as single family, but you could also potentially do a mix of other types of properties. So duplex, townhouses, maybe a multifamily building. How do the numbers look? What does it look like, obviously, in year one or starting to sell? But, you know, how do you think about the risks, different types of product type, diversifying, and then the overall numbers if you're exiting the deal or looking to sell the property even?
And then on the residential side, what are some of the services you're trying to build out there and doing?
So my first residential property or project in town was a 3,500 square foot walkout. So single family home on the southeast side of town. It was a Mayo physician, and I was introduced to them by their a realtor they'd been working with. Great opportunity, great way to work through the design. I'll say one thing about this market is it tends to be really builder oriented. People aren't, you know, used to going to or looking for the architecture services, which is another reason that, you know, looking to support the builders with helping manage those expectations, helping to work clients through the process. And that was a big part of it. They had worked with actually another architect initially, a shop that was really built out of the lumberyard service of just, hey, here's a catalog of plans, you know, picture the old Sears catalog, pick one, and we'll get you set up with the permit drawings. So far more on the kind of customization, working through those details, you know, they're important for, call it a growing family or maybe a couple who's downsizing or transitioning into that next home.
Cool.
Hmm. So I don't really know this industry very much. So would someone that wants to like start getting into a different development or something like that, and would they work with you and then you would find then the builders and stuff like that to work with, or how does that all work together then?
I'll say in the industry, yeah, you know, there's, because everyone wants to be as close as possible to their customer,
yep,
right? You want to be working with them through the whole process.
Yep.
If I had a brand and a legacy and people were coming to me as the first person, potentially I could help them. I could help them go through and work with them. But no one's closer to them, and especially in this market, than either a realtor who's worked with them for years, helping them buy or sell a house, or a builder who, through word of mouth, through a relationship, has come into that place, right? And those are really trusted professionals who they're working with. I look to support that team. I'm probably being brought in by someone else. I mean, if someone wants to come to me, and I'll say actually my second residential project now I'm working on, it's a client who I worked on their office expansion. So having worked on that, having built that relationship, they have a builder that they like that they've worked with, and me, and we're all working as a team on that.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think someone's coming to me necessarily.
Not yet, but potentially down the road, something could, like...
Potentially, I think. Yeah. But again, I'm not exactly pitching a certain style right now.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm playing with and trying to see if I can package the architecture services in a little different way.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing about Buck when you asked me about timing. I was like, oh, I wonder if I, you know, had this conversation in 3 months, if it would sound a little bit different, especially on that residential side. But
We got another guest in the building. Officer of China Hall, stop by any time. Come and say
hi. Just swing in and say hi.
What's happening? Awesome. Take a seat.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we're just hanging out. We're learning about Jeff's business.
You don't want to bite me?
No, you're good. Office of the China Hall is a good spot.
Hey. Good to see
you. So Jeff's been telling us a little bit about his architectural business, Plan the Space, and we've been learning about that this evening, which is kind of cool.
Awesome.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Who are you?
Oh, I'm Reed Bruins.
Reed Bruins. There you go. You got to get in the mic.
There you go.
Reed Bruins.
Country. with
Country Financial.
Country Financial.
Yep. Or Interconnection, whatever one you guys want to utilize here.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So going back, Jeff, so talking about your service a little bit, what do you see as like opportunity for Rochester as far as design is concerned and where potential lies of like unlocking space or unlocking unique designs? Like, you know, do we have Do we have it covered? It's not Chicago, right?
Design is a kind of different question for me because, I mean, anyone can spend more money and get a design that either has a higher-end material, finish, whatever it is. There's a lot of different ways to think about design. I really come back to it on the kind of urbanism side and how, you know, the future of Rochester's growth, what it looks like for the city, a number of things that are obviously like strengths and assets, another number of things that are kind of deficiencies and what that kind of looks like. Certainly excited about all the growth, all of the DMC, all of the changes that are happening. I was interested, you know, in that conversation around transit. And last week they canceled, or this week they canceled the Minnesota State, the MDOT transportation conversation. Was just interested to see that. It's such a big part of the city. It's something we talk about here in town all the time. But yeah, I mean, I think you could have a whole other conversation about design and all the history of just losing historic buildings. There's a kind of sad history of that, you know, in town. I think that so much of it comes back because everything spins around the big walls that we're sitting across from and the development history of having to always compete against parking spaces. You know, just to bring it back to transit, is that, you know, a building can't stand if it can't cash flow better than however many surface parking lot spaces work for, you know, the big shop in town.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Reed, do you own a home here in Rochester?
Yeah, I do.
So
we've got two homes in here in Rochester.
So did you build them or did you buy them existing? What was kind of...
Nope, they're bought existing already. So it was a good time about 5 years ago. Bought a home over by Yo Butcher Shop area, and that whole area there is continuing to grow and grow. So there's more things going around that area. There's more young families moving into that area too. So,
what, you know, you look at some of those older homes, I'm sure. What do you think about kind of those walkable areas to downtown? That, what neighborhood would that be? Is it North Cook
Park area? Yep.
Yeah,
Cook Park's a fantastic neighborhood. I mean, I think you're in a great area. I think the development's going to move your way. You got the trail system connecting you right there to downtown.
Yep.
I mean, super nice too. I mean, some of what I think of is like the kind of anchor businesses, like destination ones, right, that have kind of placed themselves in and around your area north of Kutztie. Super exciting.
I think that, yeah, I think our area is huge right now, especially because it's, I mean, when you think downtown Rochester and then you think Yule Butcher Shop area, that 7th Avenue and 11th, I mean, that area is basically downtown now. So, and Rochester keeps expanding outward, and people that are moving here to go to, you know, work at Mayo or St. Mary's, it's literally, you know, a scoot right down the street.
I'll say, as a newcomer to town too, I mean, you're calling out some of like the older legacy businesses that have been on that state.
Yep.
But a shout out to another business. I mean, I think of Old Abe's as the kind of like corner anchor there, right off the park, you know, right there. Yeah. Right.
And I think part of the reason is because they're finding buildings that are older, that they're finding a way to revitalize them and improve them. And the cost of an older building tends to be more affordable in the commercial world than if you're doing something that's especially closer to downtown or even more, you know,
brand
new.
I'll say, too, going up that same way, it was great the other day when a friend who, you know, had moved from Ann Arbor was saying that the design district really
feels
I love like something's
that
happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I swear, I'm not just like, but actually said that. Like, there's really, it's an exciting thing for Rochester.
Yeah. I love, I mean, that's the world I live and breathe, is like, I love when people start defining a space, defining an area, a neighborhood, and then start sharing about that area as a place to be, a place to go. You know, that's like they talk about DMC, it's placemaking, you know, it's right. It's what it's all about.
I think it's awesome right in that area too. They've got, I mean, three breweries. You got Forager, you've got the new one that opened up, Little Thistle, and then you've also got
Kinney
Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got almost a trifecta right there, and I'm sure there's more to come. So.
Maybe more to come, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and you look at all three of those businesses, they're all in older buildings. Kinney right. Creek was a pawn shop, Little Thistle was a transfer station. Forager was grocery,
store,
right?
Yeah.
It was a grocery store, and I can't remember what it was before that. But
wasn't it the old co-op?
Yeah, it was the co-op was, before they did their bigger thing. So as Plan the Space expands, do you see opportunity in providing services to kind of those neighborhoods and homeowners in those neighborhoods? Do you think that there's opportunity there of design services or just anything in general? I don't I'm curious.
I certainly do. I think the kind of community architect being there, I found my in is someone who came to Rochester working with the businesses. Just an easier conversation, easier to approach, and you know, a big part of it was being able to work with brokers. I mean, who touch a lot of people who are out there, you know, hustling, running, working with people. You know, I look at that as a product of just being a presence in Rochester, is being able to build those relationships and start working more with people on the residential side. There's certainly always that element of just trust and familiarity to be able to grow that. So, yeah, very excited about it. I mean, I love being involved with the Kutzke Park neighborhood. When we moved, we were looking at all the neighborhoods. I mean, we were looking at Cook Park. We were looking at Slatterly, you know, right in and around the downtown where you have that older housing stock. It just drew us, you know, right in. And I'll say, coming from Chicago, I've never known so many neighbors before. I mean, New Orleans, we knew a lot of neighbors too. I guess there was something down there, but it took longer. I mean, here, I mean, our first week, you're right into potlucks. I mean, everyone was out with kids, just super social, and really enjoy that.
Must have moved here in the summer.
You never see anybody happy on the streets nowadays. It's really weird.
They're just dodging crows, just walking around. Yeah.
That, and they're just pissed off to be shoveling their driveway for the third time because the plow truck came down the road. Literally, today I showed up at one that I just did, I feel like yesterday, and it's like already blocked again. I'm like, what are these guys running 24/7 or what's going on?
I see it too. More people who park on the corner and then the plow comes around and just completely like
buries them.
That's awesome.
Have you pushed anybody out yet this year?
2 days ago, she had gotten stuck after the plow came after her husband, and it was another guy who was doing some snowblowing who'd already made it over, and I was the third person, you know, working on it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Welcome to Snow City.
You could tell she didn't want to be out dealing with it. She was about to drive into work, and it was, yeah.
All right, so here's a fun one. And Jeff, probably, I don't know what he's going to think if I share this, but Jeff has Kutzke Coops on Instagram.
Kutzke Coops.
What is Kutzke Coops?
So when I got to town, I didn't know what I was going to be. I looked at it that I wanted to be doing either something interesting with the hospital. I mean, when you've got Mayo Clinic as your neighbor, I mean, there's something interesting there, right? So I wanted to learn more about that. And I wanted to explore there. And then I was also thinking, you know, small business, you know, consulting, something potentially from the architecture, though I didn't know what that hurdle would look like. I was fortunate to have a very nice introduction from an architect who was on his way out of town. So Adam Ferrari, Nine Square, was very helpful to getting me started and is actually the reason I didn't push what I was initially thinking with Kutzke Coops. But my initial idea was to go to the farmer's market and to be able to pay the very reasonable vendor stall to be able to then have a chicken coop on display and talk to people about what it looks like to raise backyard chickens, potentially sell some chickens, chicken coops, potentially do a business built around that. There's an interesting business in town that does work with a kind of monthly chicken coop and support. So I don't know, I was playing with what these could look like. But
how did that come about?
The idea.
Like, do you have your own or?
So I have my own. Yeah. I got them like the first week in town. I was picking up a lawnmower in Austin, and I stopped into Dexter and grabbed a couple birds. It's very easy to get going.
Right on.
What'd they cost?
They were $4 a bird.
Yeah.
They were not the, you know, prize birds. This farmer was, you know, a little shady.
he was happy to get rid of them. Yeah. $4, that's the most I've ever got.
I know. It was,
this chicken has one leg. Yeah.
It was a scam.
Stomping around on one leg.
I will say, though, that those birds, I sold them for $15 a bird.
Wow.
And that was to a guy from Flipping Nicklerville chickens on the west side of the state. So
what do you do? I flip chickens professionally.
If he wants to talk that one, he can certainly. Yeah, but I was going to talk to people at the farmer's market about coop design, and then also use that to talk about home design and thinking about efficiencies and how you use your space. I mean, I find that any home I go into, you know, if you start talking with people about how they live and use the space, there's often ways to adjust it. And the easiest one too, and is, you know, someone who has a family, right? Like young kids, there's so many little modifications and tweaks. And a lot of times it could be just with furniture or doing like a custom kind of built-in. But if you can have the drawings and you can get pricing done for you yourself efficiently, you can change things very quickly. And I think that's where a big part of the service is, and where I draw on the construction background, is just being able to get that pricing and use the drawings to negotiate.
So when you go into different spaces, do you like look at stuff and be like, oh, they should do this, this, this?
I always have thoughts. It's just how obnoxious you want to be with pushing different ideas, right? I mean, if it's a friend of
mine. We're going
to
make a TV show, or Jeff just like rips apart people's homes.
There's a lot of those now, right? I mean,
we just follow him and he's like, yeah, we're going to have to redo all this.
I just redid it. Doesn't matter.
Say, I'm so
not good.
I'm so budget conscious, and Bucky has seen this too. I mean, it's always a very scrappy approach to design. Mm. Like, what are the assets? What can you use? How can you work with your own skills and abilities? And I like that for a lot of the small business clients that we talk to. It's, can you, you know, self-perform part of this? Can you get going? Another shout out to a business in town here. Launching today is Iron Physique Fitness, Iron Physique Gym.
That's right.
And they opened today at 6 a.m., opening weekend. But that is a DIY team that has launched that. And, you know, if it was a surface they could touch and work on, if it was equipment, anything they could do. Mm. And I think all of their, you know, members and soon-to-be members really appreciate that and the energy and, you know, passion. So that's a big part of running any kind of business. And just to tie it back to your kind of lead in the home, I mean, you're passionate about your home, right? If you can put and invest and you can make changes, you know, if you're going to see a benefit, you're going to see it over a long timeline. So,
Reed, are we keeping you? All right, good. Good.
So you probably have a new client right now. It's me.
Thanks, Reed.
Yeah, buddy.
Reed a Countrywide here.
So my question,
talk right to
is
the
that,
end of the mic, right? The if mic, you turn it. There you go.
There we go. Is that better?
Yep.
So my question for you is that I do have the older home, like 1969, whatever it was, built in. But I've got two beams that go across my basement with some lally columns, whatever you call them. You know what I'm talking about? They're the structural steel that holds up the beam. So if I want to knock those out, can you help redesign that area and re-support it? Because as much as I would love to take a sledgehammer or a hacksaw to it, I just don't want the upper floor caving in or whatever that is. I'm not a construction guy.
I would take a look with you. I mean, I'm not a structural engineer. There's basic kind of loads that I could help talk through, and I would say I draw as much from the construction background for that as the architecture.
Yep.
But, you know, if we look through it, we can certainly talk about other ways to deal with it. I'm assuming that the main issue is that it's dividing your space, it's making it awkward, maybe you've got kids at home, you know, something that is starting to find that those are challenging. So,
well, it's in front of my TV. So
it's in front of your TV.
The lolly column is.
Is it really? So the Super Bowl is kind of tough this year.
Well, that's the basement TV where the kids are gonna
cheap seats every game you watch.
Right, it is. Yeah, that is. So nosebleeds in the basement at my house.
Yeah, kids in the basement.
I mean, certainly we can talk through it, and that's something I really enjoy. I mean, it's easy for me. It builds a relationship. Come out, you know, take a look at it, and. You know, maybe there's a simple solution that you don't need to. I mean, I don't think I'm going to tell you just to shift your TV over.
Right. Yeah.
But
that's what I did.
Smaller TV.
Really? You tried around. Watching on your phone? So, definitely take a look.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah.
Back to the Kuski Coops. So you decided not to really do that game plan of going down to the farmer's market.
I got busy quick and that just didn't make sense. Another thing, too, which made that impractical was that they only allow growers, you know, to come in. So being a vendor who would have, you know, coops didn't really fit with them. There were a number of different business ideas over the time. I'll share another one.
Well, you still built the Instagram though. And then what has it turned into?
But that's more like someone who just posts dog pics. I mean, you know, I'm just...
But it's sweet, dude. So he's posted chicken pics, and, like, he's got...
Well, you're still active on it?
Oh, yeah, Kuski Coops.
The business.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So awesome. You got a name for each chicken.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's the names of the chickens?
So you can guess which ones I named and which ones my wife named. But we've got Lil T, Barb, Candy, and Kiki 3.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. And you just share about their day and you share about, you know, random things that you find interesting.
Well, I'm always learning from the team here that I need to be posting more. I really don't use the stories feature. I should be putting them out there. But yeah, they were thriving through their first winter. This winter has been a little bit harder for them. Yeah. They decided to molt going into the coldest weather on the Tuesday 2 weeks ago or whatever it is, right before it got really cold. So,
and what's that? What's molt?
Molting is where they basically just decide to drop all their feathers and then grow new ones. And they tend to do that in the fall, winter. So, yeah, they were at the mark, and they just so they're like walking around without their coats on. It's really, it's a terrible decision. Dogs haven't figured out. Chickens didn't get that far.
Yeah. So if you want to follow Kutzke Coops, you need to do that. It's a good Instagram account. It gets you to laugh. So going down the social conversation, one thing that, you know, thank you for saying you're, you know, getting leads from us, and we're just posting trying to figure it out. You've been slower to start posting about your business. And what do you think one of the reasons for that is? Like, what's holding you back from posting about your business?
I mean, I have a certain hesitancy about that just in general. Like, I don't know if I've ever posted, I mean, photos of people. I don't know. I mean, the different generation, maybe growing up completely with like Facebook and having it all the time. I'm just, I don't know, hesitant, a little slower. At the same time, you know, like anything, with more exposure, more experience, you get more comfortable. So I'll say that, you know, seeing you guys, the frequency of your posts, the way you do it, the way your authentic message and just yourself, the way it comes through, it's helpful. It's inspiring. It's also a great access point, just going back to the larger picture of Rochester. You know, when I was first watching videos on YouTube, and granted, I was kind of searching around an area and trying to research for my business, but I found Bucky walking through. It was either a Broadway or First Street business, and it had like 7 views. It was under 100 for sure. It was probably around 14 or so. I mean, it was like nothing. But here was someone who was posting so regularly, and you just see the payoff too, you know, as it plays into your business and, you know, Josh was growing what you do. So
yeah,
it's cool. I mean, and being so, you know, locally focused, it's a little easier to start to get something that people follow and a presence. I mean, I'll say with Plan the Space, I've been posting, you know, a lot of stuff that's just fun for me. So before and after shots from some of the New Orleans houses I worked on. We really didn't get into that, but when I first got down there, I was working with a private developer, a guy who was engineer by training, but, you know, clearly an architect, designer at heart, who is doing, you know, these great rehabs in the quarter. So this is early 1800s properties that needed to be effectively rebuilt, right? I mean, we were taking them apart brick by brick and, like, putting them back in, but the masons worked nonstop for 2.5 years, like, on these properties. So, you know, and they were just outstanding, you know, right in the quarter. So posting a few of those, if you want to take a look, you can see the before and after shots of some courtyard.
One thing I'll say about your posts is you've been promoting Offices of China Hall, which we appreciate a lot. And I don't know, we've talked about this, but it's amazing what that does for your clients. It helps your clients recognize the value you're bringing outside of just delivering this great service that you delivered. It's like, I'm going beyond, right? I'm going to share about your product. I'm going to share about your business. I'm going to give you a shout out on social. And I think that's awesome too. And you don't just like post it with one comment. Like, you put some thought into what you're sharing and the copy and the photos and all that stuff.
Well, I think with anything, you know, consistency is important, right? So I'm trying to have a kind of, you know, way I'm presenting it. I wouldn't call it like necessarily brand, but just, you know, a certain way of delivering that. I think if anything, it maybe is taking a little bit. I like the way that you post, where it's just shout outs, you know, all the time. But that's kind of a part of your process. Yeah, you know, for me, it's trying to, I mean, in some small way, help draw attention. I think, again, similar to the way you are, you know, to some of the area businesses. And if it's someone that I've worked with, I mean, that's awesome. I certainly want to, you know, help be able to promote them. And if it can, you know, that's great. And I'll say, just with Iron Physique opening, that was their launch today is what prompted me to start posting in a story feed, you know, feature. And it was the first time that I'd ever like reposted from someone else's post.
Yeah.
Just, I'd never used that button.
We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I helped them do that. I'm like, what? He's like, oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I helped him, but yeah. I did it. Yeah.
And he's like, do you think I should repost it? He's like, No, that's not a question. Like, I'm going to repost it. Yeah. He's like, I should be reposting it.
And you know, they appreciate it because it just helps them get out there that much more. Whether or not yours had 2 views or had 100 views, you know, it's just, it helps.
Well, and just to share, that was a conversation I had with Josh. I'm not a client of Josh's, but he's been outstanding. He's been someone to talk about.
You know? Listen to what he's saying now.
Someone who's available and who's there to be able to, you know, help talk through and get people more comfortable, and certainly delivers a service that people are seeing, you know, the advantage and the bump from the work he does.
Yeah,
thank you.
The cool thing about social, I feel, especially with what's happened on Instagram, is like we all can kind of join forces and talk about how we're creating on that platform, and it doesn't necessarily matter what you do, you know, but we're not going to all get together and talk about accounting, even though we probably all need to do it. You know, we just don't do that. But when it comes to social, it's like, wow, you're marketing your way, your business in a unique way.
But if anyone wants to get around and talk about insurance, great from Countrywide.
So, no, keep up the social. I think that there's a lot of potential with your business. One thing that's helped me recently, I never went live. I've started to go live more. I need to go live while we're going through a project, and you're in projects more than even I am. I'm more on the transactional side. You're from start to finish, like going on and saying, I'm going to share from step one this process and give people the updates via live.
Like documenting more of the process.
Oh, and people love the tour, you know, and it's... You just, it's natural to give the tour. It's not as natural to go live and go, what's up today, guys? What do you want to talk about today? It's easier to say, I'm going to just talk about this space, and then I can turn it off.
I mean, I think you're right. I think you're speaking to something. I'm thinking of a few of the projects that we have in town, you know, that are going through that construction phase right now, and being able to walk through certainly makes, you know, these projects more accessible for people, helps them see the kind of process and the way that you work through with the team. I mean, if we can reference,
just,
so Decent Center, I mean, that is a project that, you know, working through it start to finish, strip mall, you know, full renovation, and probably end up being all new, almost all new tenants, you know, in the end. Yep. So, you know, working there, we've got Adam Kramer as a contractor who's doing excellent work and has been a part of the team from the start. And, you know, working with a lot of owners, I mean, that is kind of the nice thing about that retail center is you just see a lot of people, you know, coming through, helping them see how their business is going to come in. And there's been a number of them just working with Bucky who have come, taken a look at it. You know, we went down the process as far as they needed to be able to see if it was going to work for them. And then, you know, it doesn't. And, you know, it doesn't always work, but at least if you're able to help push that conversation, it gets people where they need to be faster.
Yeah. One of the big hurdles often is I have this great idea, or I have an idea. I think it might be great. I don't know. What's the cost going to be? And before you can even really nail down a cost, you need to get a drawing. And it's because without drawings, what is the guy bidding? What is the contractor bidding? And so that's been helpful to kind of build that into a phase process where it's like, we'll do a conceptual, Jeff will do a conceptual. And then from there, we can kind of pave the way to a budget that is still broad, but it gets you that much closer to having your idea in a space.
And I'll say going back to, so I was a contractor for most of my professional career, and when I was working in San Francisco doing the tenant interiors, I mean, so often we would get, you know, just the base floor plan with the scribbled broker notes over it. And technically, I could get my subs to give me numbers from that. Like, I had enough information, but the numbers were not going to be very good. So even when I was working as a contractor, I was in the end doing the drawings. I was putting it together because I wanted those numbers to be so competitive. There was just that competitive element of being in a hard bid process or going in where if you want to get good numbers from subs, you really need to make it so that they don't need to build allowances. So they don't need to worry about what the changes are going to be, how thought out this is from the owner's perspective. So that's my little plug, you know, at least for having the drawings and where it gives you the value. It's certainly easier in a city like San Francisco, where it's a percent of the total spend. It's like 0.001% of the cost of a build out there. You're at like 400 a square foot for like a, you know,
right.
A build. It's crazy. But, you know, in any market, right, if you can get someone to tighten up and not start with really high numbers that are just there so that you can know if you can move the deal forward and then you've got to tighten up later, you're in a better spot going forward.
For sure.
Mm.
Fun stuff. We are 45 minutes in.
45
almost
minutes.
Almost to the world record of the Office of the China Hall podcast.
It was 50-some minutes. I saw it there. Yeah. Through the podcast today.
Break that. No, again, me being not in this world of, you know, everything that you guys are doing a lot, I think, again, documenting and showing more of that would be interesting to, you know, your Joe Blow on the street. That
and getting
just
into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting into the nitty-gritty. You're really good at it as far as sharing about certain things, finishes and things like that. And I think that, gosh, if you share about those details, people are interested in those details of a project and a process.
I mean, it could be something where you're like, well, people wouldn't care about this. Oh, and that's a lot of times I find companies and people, they're like, well, whatever I do isn't interesting. That's because you do it every day. Everyone else has no idea what the heck you're doing. And it is interesting, you know. So yeah. I think that would be really cool because talking more, I'm like, well, I want to learn more. Like, I want to know what's going on too. So I think documenting and creating more content like that would be really interesting.
Certainly makes sense and is very much appreciated. I think anyone who's thinking about taking that next step should come down and sit for the podcast. message here from Josh and Bucky.
Hold the camera in your face and talk directly to the camera.
Guys, are we live? Oh, yeah, you're live.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining the Office of the China Hall podcast on a Friday night. Reed, thank you for dropping in.
Yeah, I didn't know you guys were hanging out like this. So
every Friday here at China Hall.
We're trying. We've been keeping it consistent. And then Thursdays we've been trying to do ping pong down here. So people have been stopping in for that as well. So.
There it is. Yeah, I was swinging by. I was met somebody and I'm like, oh, I'm going to pop in and see what they're doing. I didn't know you guys had a podcast. So
someday we'll get like a live, like we are now live neon, right on the, you know, right?
And someday it'll be light out when you
finish.
That'd
be awesome.
Yes, that will too. Yeah. Reed, if people want to learn more about your business, where can they go? Where do they check out what you're up to?
You can get on Facebook and look up Reed Bruins at Country Financial. You can learn more about Interconnection on Facebook as well. Otherwise, you can just Google Reed Bruins at Country Financial and pull up my webpage there. Otherwise, give me a call. I'd just like to have a coffee and hang out with you. So
awesome.
Anytime.
And then, Jeff, how about your business, Plan the Space, where you got some of your content and
contact and information is all online at planthespace.com. My email, Jeff at planthespace, accessible there anytime. I've put together a few things under the residential drop down on mine. So a couple of tools there for people who are starting to think about having that conversation about next steps for home planning. Online, there's a 12-question survey of lifestyle questions, just easy things to be able to work through with a partner, talking about what you're looking for in your next space. And then if you did want, I could share with you a larger, call it 5-7 pages of questions depending on the project. And the idea is that if you're a couple who are just starting to think about a new home or, you know, next space, that you can go ahead, do it individually, do it together. And then whether you're talking to me as an architect or any other professional, you at least have a couple of those things that are a priority for you already down on paper. And it's early on in its stage, but there's also a style quiz on the website. The idea is to be able to give you a number of better one, better two kind of looks at different interior finishes. And as you work through it and a partner works through it, you can go ahead and then get a result, basically where you score. Think of on a matrix on, are you more geometric, more organic for your style? Do you tend to prefer more pure, more eclectic looks? Just a number of different categories to break it down. And that'll help you either talking to a builder, talking to a showroom, other architect, anyone you're working with.
That's awesome. Josh, where are you at?
I am everywhere. You've probably seen my content.
You're not on Twitter, don't lie.
I'm not on Twitter. Instagram a lot, Facebook. I do have a website. I don't use it a lot, but I have one. So
go follow him.
You'll see my content.
There you go. And I'm Bucky at Realty Growth. You can check it out on Instagram. Go like, subscribe, follow Offices of China Hall. If you want to see any of Jeff's work, you can come down and get a tour anytime.
That's right.
We're here throughout the week. We're here on Friday nights. And thank you for tuning in again. We'll see you again next week. Boy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.